Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, October 2nd, 2022, first class, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5, the results of justification. And one of the greatest passages in the word of God on suffering for blessing. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, instantly restoring us to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and our spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we still have my alma mater, the Washington State Cougars, and UNLV Rebels still have a chance to meet each other in the national championship. They only have one loss. For the Rebels, they're 4-1. For the Cougars, they're 4-1. Both of them could be 5-0, but you don't want to. You need a loss in there just so you don't get too big-headed, So. One loss, 4-1, both of them, they can still meet for the national championship. That would be a great, great national championship. We are in, one of the great passages in the Word of God. After I had my aneurysm hurdles and recovering, I spent a lot of time on this, and I could not believe, I'd never gone through it and studied it word by word in the Koine Greek, and this is absolutely phenomenal passage in the Word of God. on suffering for blessing, but the results of justification. We have studied that there are four results of justification given in Romans 5, 1 through 5. Result number one is peace with God. That's reconciliation. Verse 1, therefore, because we were justified by faith, that is, imputed with the righteousness from God, and therefore declared to be righteous, we have peace with God, reconciliation, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then result number two is access. Access into the presence of the living and true God, the first part of verse 2. By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access. Access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And then that brought us to result number 3. Eternal security, the second half of verse 2. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so, we keep on boasting, glorying in hope, in the confidence of the glory of God. That is the essence of God, who and what God is. Now that brought us to result number 4. And result number 4 is in verses 3 through 5. And result number 4, well, it's the result of justification because it's the establishment of the grace pipeline. When you come to the cross and place your faith in Jesus Christ, at that instant, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. That's justification. That establishes a grace pipeline. Result number 4 of justification, the establishment of a grace pipeline for blessing. God establishes this grace pipeline because he wants to bless you, and he does bless you. Instantly, at the moment of faith in Christ, 40 salvation blessings given to you instantly. You didn't even realize, didn't even know it, but you were given these blessings. And then as you begin to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you learn about it. And the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you learn who and what God is and his magnificent essence and plan. And then he also, that occurred at the moment of faith in Christ. And then logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. This is the devil's world right now. He's in charge. He's running the show. And God gives you logistical grace every day, day after day after day, to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? Because salvation's just, that's just the gun going off. You're just coming out of the blocks. You haven't run the race yet. You got to run the race. You got to reach it to the finish line. So all this is the gun's gone off. It's not the end of the plan of God. Now he wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advance from a baby to adolescence to spiritual maturity. Why? Because he wants to pour out on you greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time right here in the middle of the devil's world. Greater grace blessings for all eternity given at the judgment seat of Christ that glorify God. When God is free to pour these out on you, that glorifies God forever and ever and ever. That's why God established this grace pipeline for blessing. And He's just tapping His foot, waiting for you to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, advanced to spiritual adulthood. And the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart. Now, we have here in Romans 5, 3 through 5, one of the fantastic greater grace blessings when you reach spiritual adulthood is suffering for blessing. Fantastic blessing. Suffering for blessing. And why does God give us that when we reach spiritual adulthood? Because he wants you to go all the way. To go all the way to spiritual maturity. And suffering for blessing will get you there. It will get you there by developing four virtues. Each one develops the next one, which develops the next one, which develops the next one. So this is one of the greatest passages in the Word of God, Romans 5, 3 through 5, that describes suffering for blessing and why God gives it to us. Why does God give us suffering for blessing? This passage tells us it's because He wants to get us all the way to the ultimate objective, virtue, love, brought to completion in our heart. So this is one of the greatest passages in the Word of God that describes suffering for blessing. The spiritually adult believer has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He is living his life in the light of the unique spiritual life that God has given to us, royal family, in the church age. He has grown up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has God's problem-solving devices in his soul, which enables him to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. And that's what suffering for blessing is. You get to run the hurdles. Clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. These hurdles may include intense suffering or pain or trials or persecution or oppression or affliction or distressing circumstances. As the spiritually adult believer clears these hurdles by the grace and power of God, four magnificent virtues of Christ are produced. And this is why God gives us this fantastic suffering for blessing, so that these four magnificent virtues of Christ can be produced in our heart. The first one, we have studied the first three of these. The virtue number one that's developed is the Greek word hupomone, literally to stay under the suffering. Don't quit. Don't whine, mew, complain. God doesn't want to hear you complain. Nobody wants to hear you complain. Don't come to me and complain. I don't want to hear. And I'll promise, I won't come to you and complain. I mean, I got a lot of things. My knees kill me. I just hope we have communion today. You all are praying that I don't break my neck going down the stairs, have communion, then back up. Oh, I don't get up here and go, ow, 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 woo, oh, woe is me. Oh. Nobody wants to hear that crap. God doesn't want maligners or whiners, not whining, complaining, woe is me, I got all these aches and pains. Hell, you get older, you're going to have lots of aches and pains. Wait till you get older. You get more and more and more. First the knees hurt, then the shoulders hurt. Everything starts hurting, falling apart. Because you're falling apart, your body. That's because this body was not designed to live forever. So it goes to the grave, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And you go to God face to face with the Lord, and you have a resurrection body forever and ever and ever. So hupomone means to literally stay under the suffering and develop courageous endurance, great mental attitude. You utilize the grace and power of God and you clear the hurdle. All right, you got some suffering for blessing. That's an honor. That's a privilege. That God, you have advanced to the point where God is able to give you this fantastic suffering for blessing. And the reason why he does, he wants to develop in your soul courageous endurance. Courage in the face of great suffering. And then that develops the next virtue. Dokime, from dokimazo, which means to test someone for the purpose of approval. When you're tested and approved, you're qualified. And so the best way to translate dokime is proven character. So the first virtue is courageous endurance, and that develops, that produces the second virtue, proven character. Grace, righteousness. You have been tested, approved, and now you're qualified for the third virtue that is developed in this suffering for blessing, which is elpis, hope. And hope isn't, I hope so, it's confidence. Hope 2 and hope 3. Confidence of greater grace blessings in time. Confidence of greater grace blessings for all eternity. It is maximum confidence in God, the Word of God, and the plan of God for your life. That's the third. Each one, all of this comes from suffering for blessing. Now, we have the corrected translation of verses 3 and 4. It sounds like this. And not only this, but also, on that phrase tells us we have now result number 4 of justification. And not only this, but also, we keep on glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing brings about perseverance, courageous endurance, virtue number 1. And perseverance, courageous endurance, brings about proven character, virtue number 2, demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, brings about hope, absolute confidence, especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessings for time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. Now you see, dokimazo, you've been tested, approved, and now you're qualified. Qualified for greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And that brings us to verse 5. Well, there's one little part left of hope, and that's the first phrase in verse 5. And hope never disappoints. And then that brings us to the fourth virtue that is developed. This is why God gives us suffering for blessing. You ought to thank God every day when you are qualified. You've reached that point that God can give you suffering for blessing and have these fantastic virtues developed in your soul. Courageous endurance, courage in the face of great suffering, that's a fantastic virtue. Proven character, grace, righteousness, You're tested, approved, and qualified for the first, third virtue, elpis, confidence, hope two, greater grace blessings in time, hope three, greater grace blessing for eternity. And that brings you to the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and that is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. God has set up this fantastic system, and you just go from hupomone to dokime to elpis to the ultimate objective, agape, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all, and occupation with Jesus Christ. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, brings about elpis, confidence, expectation, anticipation. The winner believer has maximum confidence in God and in the Word of God. Hope is the momentum factor in the plan of God. Hope gives you confidence about a future thing. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the spiritually mature believer gives him confidence about near and distant future things. Hope is confidence that keeps driving the believer, and therefore it is a tremendous dynamic of your spiritual life. The three categories of hope. Hope one, absolute confidence that when you believe in Christ, you have eternal life. Hope two, absolute confidence that when you attain spiritual adulthood, you will receive your greater grace blessing for time. Spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, blessing by association, historical impact, suffering for blessing, Romans 5, 3 through 5, dying grace blessing. Hope three, absolute confidence that at the judgment seat of Christ, you will receive your greater grace blessings for all eternity. Therefore, hope in the Scriptures is a technical monopoly belonging only to the royal family of God. All right, now that brings us to the ultimate objective of this suffering for blessing. Now that brings us to virtue number four, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love. Romans 5:5 starts out and says, "And hope maketh not ashamed." This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of elpis with a definite article, plus the present active indicative of the verb kataiskuno with the objective negative ou. We start out with de, de, and this is not a conjunction of contrast here, it's a transitional particle and may be correctly translated and, moreover, then, or now. We'll translate it and. And then we have hey Elpis, not hey Elvis. Hey Elpis. I have to explain, some of your hearing's not so good. Hey E-L-P-I. Hey, Elpis. And that is hope, absolute confidence, but the key here is the verb with the objective negative, ooh. Now, ooh is objective negative. It slams the door. Kataiskuno. That's kataiskun, long O. Kataiskuno. Kataiskuno can mean to dishonor, to disgrace, or to put to shame. But it also means to disappoint. And that's how it is used in Romans 5:5. To disappoint. But with the objective negative ooh, that slams the door. So this says hope, elpis, hope never disappoints. Hope never disappoints. God never disappoints. God's plan never disappoints. God's grace never disappoints. People will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. And sometimes it's your own loved ones will disappoint you. Sometimes it's your own friends will disappoint you. But people will disappoint you. But God will never, ever disappoint you. And the winner believer knows that. And that's why his most important love is love for God. And that's what's developed here. That's the fourth virtue that's developed as a result of this suffering for blessing. Hope never disappoints. The present tense is a gnomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. The axiom is this: the virtue of hope, absolute confidence in God and His Word, never disappoints. The virtue of hope, absolute confidence in God and His Word, never disappoints. God can never disappoint you. The active voice, absolute confidence, hope in God and His Word, performs the action of never disappointing the believer. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed Scriptures. And hope, absolute confidence in God and His Word, never disappoints. How awesome is that? Now, there's a lot of believers that they're putting people emphasis over God emphasis. And if you do that, I guarantee you're going to be disappointed. But if you put God emphasis over people emphasis, you will never, ever be disappointed. So a couple of things. One, when God agreed to bless the winner believer with suffering for blessing, it develops four virtues in your heart. When God is free to bless the winner believer with suffering for blessing, it develops four virtues in your heart. First, perseverance, courageous endurance in the midst of suffering. You clear the hurdle. You're not a whiner. You're not a complainer. You clear the hurdle and glorify God. Perseverance, courageous endurance. And that develops, produces proven character. You now have demonstrated grace righteousness, proven character, tested, approved, and therefore qualified. Qualified for the third virtue. Hope, elpis. Absolute confidence in God and His Word, especially absolute confidence, hope 2 and hope 3, of greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And that produces or brings about the fourth virtue, the ultimate objective of this suffering for blessing. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 2, God never disappoints the believer. God never disappoints the believer. Every once in a while I'll be somewhere getting a haircut or something, and the barber or somebody else say, "How's the world treating you?" And I said, "Shh, terrible." Terrible, but Jesus Christ is treating me absolutely fantastic. God is treating me great. The world? Screw the world. What is the world? The cosmic system. How's the world treating you? Horrible. I almost threw up. I was driving down and I saw a poster. It had Biden and Sisolak. And it said, "The Dream Team for Nevada." I got sick. I pulled over and threw up. I wanted to go back and put a nightmare. Forget about dream. This is a nightmare for Nevada. My God, I can't believe. But I'm sure there's people that go by, oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? Dream team. Mm-hmm. Nightmare. I might work on a poster. Nightmare team for Nevada. But if I put it up, I'll be arrested and put in jail, prison, shot, something. I don't know. God never disappoints the believer. 3. People will disappoint you. But the living and true God will never disappoint you. People will disappoint you. But the living and true God will never disappoint you. I've had people that disappointed me. A lot of different people have disappointed me. I've had people tell me, even say, now Dick, don't get this, don't do that. I'll take care of that. I remember when I was in Dallas Seminary, I had one fella, and he said, now don't worry about your library. I will provide so that you can get your library. Don't worry about it. Well, I waited and went through the first year, second year, third year, got to the fourth year, and I said, I don't think I'm going to wait anymore. I'm not going to say anything to him. That he just got involved in other things. But I said, Debbie and I were married our fourth year. I said, Debbie, you got to go to work. And so she went to work, and all the money that she got, well, I got my library all taken care of, paid for and all taken care of. I've never said boo about that. I was a little disappointed, but anyway, I wasn't going to let that keep me from getting my library all set up. And Debbie became a legal secretary. And they loved her absolutely, totally. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Debbie. Everybody loves Debbie. Harlan says she doesn't even have a sin nature. Now, that shows you Harlan is a baby believer. All of us have a sin nature. People will disappoint you, but the living and true God will never disappoint you. 4. Disappointment comes to the believer who fails to live the spiritual life. Disappointment comes to the believer who fails to live the spiritual life that God has given to us. Disappointment comes to all of those who live their lives in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. 5. Your friends may fail and disappoint you. There will be friends that will be fantastic friends, the best ever. But some of them may fail and disappoint you. Or your loved ones may fail and disappoint you. But God will never disappoint you. God will never disappoint you. 6. The spiritually adult believer never depends on people. Rather, he is totally dependent on the grace and power of God. The winner believer never depends on people. Rather, he is totally dependent on the grace and power of God. 7, he has absolute confidence in who and what God is. Absolute confidence in the essence of God, the plan of God, the grace of God. He knows God. He loves God. He has absolute confidence in who and what God is. The one who is the source of all blessing, including suffering for blessing. So he has absolute confidence in who and what God is. The one who is the source of all blessing, including suffering for blessing. The principle, what the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God demands, the justice of God executes. Now, when the believer in Jesus Christ makes good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, advances to spiritual maturity, then the righteousness of God demands blessing. That righteousness of God, which is inside of each one of you, justification, that righteousness of God demands blessing from the justice of God, including suffering for blessing. However, when the believer makes bad decisions to live in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, he is disappointed in himself, disappointed in life, frustrated in life. For the carnal reversionistic believer, the righteousness of God demands discipline from the justice of God. And that discipline is what we call a simuid believer. You don't want to be a simuid. Make sure you don't want to be a simuid believer. Sim, that's self-induced misery. It always starts out with self-induced misery. And wid, well, that's warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline, which the justice of God administers. So for the carnal reversionistic believer, the righteousness of God in you looks up to justice and demands discipline. Self-induced misery, then warning discipline, then intensive discipline. And if you don't wake up and get back into rebound, get back into fellowship with God, if you don't then make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you just continue, then comes dying discipline. 8. While the believer who walks in the light, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, will have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Point 8. But the believer who walks in the light, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will have virtue love. Virtue number 4, brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate objective that God has for each one of us. 9, this is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. This is where God wants us all to be. You believed in Christ, the gun went off. That's just the beginning. You just came out of the blocks. Now you got to run the race and advance all the way and cross the finish line. And that is having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the objective. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 10, this is virtue number 4 that is produced from suffering for blessing. Virtue number 4 that is produced from suffering for blessing, the Greek word is agape. And I know everybody's heard the word agape. Agape, love. It's just that nobody knows anything about love, but they know the word agape. This is virtue love. This is virtue number four that's produced from suffering for blessing. Agape. 11. Love for God has been brought to completion in our hearts by the grace and power of God. God the Holy Spirit. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. Demands supernatural power for its execution. That power is the power of the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And you, in grace, perspicacity, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So point 11, love for God has been brought to completion in our hearts. And that's the rest of verse 5. And I'll give you the corrected translation of the whole thing because I know we're not going to get it all today because the next class is communion. And that is the best of the best. Communion is always the best of the best. I know you all came here today looking forward to communion. The verse 5 will sound like this, and hope never disappoints because love for God, virtue love, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, who was given to us. He was given to us at the moment of salvation, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit to every church age believer as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit to live the power, to live the spiritual life and advance to maturity. And when you do that, why, you will have virtue love poured out in your hearts. And notice, who pours it out in your heart? God the Holy Spirit. By the grace and the power of God. Alright. So virtue number four that's produced, agape. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This is the conjunction hati plus the nominative singular of agape with a definite article plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article plus the perfect passive indicative of the verb ekkeo plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of cardia with a definite article and the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Hati. H-O-T-I. Now, after verbs of decendi, knowing, thinking, saying, it introduces an object clause and translated that, but that's not how it's used here. Here, this is the causal use of hati, causal conjunction, correctly translated, because. And then we have hey agape. That's a definite article. Hey and agape, H-E-A-P, long E. Hey agape. And hey agape is love, the love, refers specifically here to virtue love. This is personal love for God the Father and personal love for God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is occupation with Christ. Theos is God, and the genitive case is the objective genitive. There are 26 different kinds of genitives in Koine Greek. 26. That's why you go to seminary. And there are some men in the pulpits today, they're not prepared. They are not prepared to teach the Word of God. And I'll tell you, be real honest with you, it's almost impossible for someone with the gift of pastor teacher to be prepared today. Very, very hard. Most seminaries have gone the wrong way. Well, when I was at Dallas Seminary, and that was about 150 years ago, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I had a church history prof. Great church history prof. And he was teaching about seminaries in the United States. And he said, seminaries stay Orthodox about 50 years. And then they decline. He says, you go back, there were some great seminaries at the beginning of our nation's history. And they were preparing men for the ministry, missionaries, pastors. They were, did a fantastic job. Then, after 50 years, they just went down, down, down. And as he got done with that, he said, by the way, this year is Dallas Seminary's 50th anniversary. That's all he had to say. I knew exactly what he was saying. We're going to have next Sunday. You want to show up? You want to get your picture taken? Rapid Robert Wilkin will be here next Sunday. And he always brings his camera. And you get to be on candid camera. He'll take your picture. You'll probably be then in his letters going out all over the country. Your handsome, beautiful faces will be sent out all over. So Rapid Robert will be here next Sunday. I don't know if he's running in the Old Farts Olympics this year or not. He always comes out for the Old Farts Olympics, but I'm not sure he's going to get into it this year. They might have banned him from it, I don't know. But anyway, he'll be here next Sunday. And he has the class, and it'll be great. He does a great job. But he told me, he said, Dick, he said, Dallas Seminary is done. I said, well, I'm not surprised. When I was there, it was their 50th anniversary, and I was expecting them to go down after that. He goes, yep. He says, it's done, it's dead. And this has happened in seminaries all over the country. It's very, very difficult for a man with the gift of pastor teacher to be prepared for the ministry. Why do you go? Why do you go to seminary? Why do you prepare? Well, first of all, God commands you, if you have this gift, prepare for the ministry. That's what He does. He commands you to prepare for the ministry. Pastor Breckel, when I called him up and said, Ron, I think I have the gift of pastor teacher. He says, I know you have the gift. But I can't tell you that. Only God can tell you that. Come over here right now. You need to go to Dallas Seminary. You got to prepare for the ministry. Yes, sir. So you get over here. I got over there. We sat down. He filled out everything. We sent it in. He said, you now need to prepare for the ministry. Now he said, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to grow up while you're in seminary spiritually. All you're doing is getting the tools. You're getting the tools so that you can study and teach and communicate the truth of God's Word. That means you have to keep growing spiritually in your own spiritual life besides getting the tools. I said, yes, sir. He said, that means you're not going to get it at seminary. But you need to, and I did, I had... At that time, it was reel to reel. You even know what that is anymore? You even know what reel to reel is? Am I this big around reel to reel? I listened to class every single day. I had a class. And the only thing about that, you better have strict discipline. Self-discipline. Academic discipline. When you're doing that, you can still benefit fantastic way, but you have to have self-discipline, academic self-discipline while you're doing it. You can't be doing a million other things. You gotta concentrate on that. And I remember Paul Stark was in the room next to me, and I love that guy. That guy was absolutely phenomenal. Great, great Grace Bible teacher. And I'm listening to my class Yes. Magnum, you want to sing? It's coming. Randy will be up here. You can sing. Magnum sings better than all of you. I'm not trying to put you down. Now, there's a couple in here that can sing. Randy can sing. Tim can't sing. Chris Jones, he can hunt. He went hunting, got an antelope, and left me some backstrap. Hallelujah. My prayers have been answered. I went to, I'm listening to my class, and I listen, and here's Paul Stark with high speed. And here's the colonel. I open the door. Are you listening to the colonel on high speed? Yeah, I can get three or four classes in the time I could get one. How in the hell can you hear what he's saying? Well, he's going, I go, okay. Go ahead. But Pastor Breckel warned me, he says, you need to make sure you're continuing to feed on the Word of God and growing. You're not going to get a seminary, but you will get the tools. Well, what kind of tools are you getting? Well, in the genitive case, there's 26 different kinds of genitives. You got to know which, just because it's in the genitive, big deal. You can translate it of. That's the way they do in most of your Bibles, of. But there's 26 different kinds of genitives. You got to know which one it is. That's why you go to seminary. That's why you go over and over, repetition, 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 so that you get a feel for the language of Scripture. Koine Greek. Well, this is a genitive case. It is an objective genitive and is correctly translated for God. Because the love for God. Well, I've already gone past, but I'm going to go ahead and go a little bit further. How y'all doing? I know Dodie's got. She runs hurdles, back hurdles, the back problem hurdle, all the time, and if I teach too long, then she will clear the hurdle of the back problem, pull out the gun and shoot me, and rebound. Afterwards, she get, okay, I'll rebound afterwards. I'll kill that son of a bitch. Because the love for God, ek ke'o, E-K-C-H-E long O. Ekkeo. Now, ekkeo literally means to pour out. It was used for the pouring out of liquids or fluids, for pouring out water. It was also used for shedding blood. Figuratively, it is used of God the Holy Spirit pouring out virtue love, love for God in the heart of the winner believer. Figuratively, it is used of God the Holy Spirit pouring out virtue love, love for God in the heart of the winner believer. The winner believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, getting the Word of God into his heart. And the result of getting the Word of God in your heart, virtue love is poured out in your hearts. Virtue love for God. Virtue love is brought to completion in the winner believer's heart. All right. Well, we'll take our break, and when we come back, the Lord's table.